Hello and welcome to Right Through Now, the podcast that helps you keep in touch with world events and interesting news around the world. Let's take a look at what's up today. So a major earthquake has triggered tsunami warnings and evacuations in New Zealand. Yeah, one of the things about an increased water level in the world is going to be that the effects of like seismic events is going to be amplified as well. Because even though the water level would rise very gradually, relatively speaking, hopefully at least, every time there's a seismic event that triggers something like a tsunami, it's going to amplify that as well. Because the default level, the starting point of the water level is already higher. But in this case, of course, that's not the main focus of this news article. The main focus is the 8.1 magnitude earthquake off the coast, which has prompted the tsunami warning. So the quake was one of three to strike New Zealand in a day, with emergency orders in coastal regions urging people to head away from the water and onto high ground. There were no immediate reports of serious damage or casualties before the warning was downgraded. Let's see what else is up. Right, so Alphabet's Moonshot Lab is working on a device to give people superhuman hearing. This is really interesting because, I mean, if you think about it, Elon Musk's Neuralink is kind of fundamentally based on similar technology goals. The Neuralink stuff is basically, first and foremost, it's going to target people with specific disabilities. And imagine, you know, people with neurological conditions that can get repaired, previously unheard of in human history almost. There are a few cases where certain surgical operations and procedures can help people with specific disabilities, but very rarely can they tackle brain stuff. So it's interesting that Alphabet is thinking in the same dimension. Of course, you know, the current article pertains to an external device. This the picture I'm looking at, the cover for the article is just you know, has a picture of a dude with an earplug, essentially. Let's take a look at what they're saying. Alphabet has attempted to take on some wild projects over the years, like a crop-sniffing plant buggy and fish-tracking cameras. But now its X-Lab is working on a device that could give people superhuman hearing. The project is codenamed Wolverine, of course it is, and is exploring the future of hearing through sensor-packed hardware. The team, members of which spoke to Insider anonymously, say they are currently trying to figure out how to isolate people's voices in a crowded room or make it easier to focus on one person when overlapping conversations are happening around you. So in a healthy human ear, this is something that is that should happen automatically. This is called the cocktail party effect. And what essentially happens is the combination of your brain and your ear is able to filter out when a large amount of, relatively speaking, a large amount of conversations is happening around you. You're able to filter out what a specific person is saying. And different people can do this to varying extents, but almost everybody can do a little bit. If your hearing is unaffected, if you have a good ear still, then you're able to do this relatively well. But of course, there are limits and thresholds, you know, on how much you can actually do this. So it's more a combination of your brain and your ear rather than the ear itself. All right, let's see what else is going on. So Alphabet's team isn't focused on just one device or one use case, Insider says. The team is looking to build a successful business with multiple devices and models. So if they're successful, you might start wearing Google-owned hearing aids. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that because it's for sure going to have Google Assistant features as well. And I'm not sure that's something that is a critical feature to hearing aids. But maybe it's useful for some people. I don't know. Right, let's take a look at what else is going on. So Porsche has unveiled a pair of ridiculously expensive electric bikes. Interesting. So, you know, in Europe, it's super common for bikes to have a motor. Not every bicycle has that, but there's an increasing trend towards pedelecs. And a pedelec is basically it's like a bicycle. It looks exactly like a bicycle, and it tends to have a battery pack and a motor. So it's not like a motorcycle that you just, you know, press the throttle or an accelerator of some sort and, you know, automatically moves forward. But rather, it's more like you have to make some effort and then the bicycle makes the rest of the effort for you. So it's like a supplemental power reserve rather than, you know, pure propulsion based on the motor and the battery pack in and of itself. Right, so let's see. So these are carbon fiber frame bikes, and they're traditionally more expensive than other bikes in the first place. But of course, the Porsche badge on the head tube is worth a premium to a certain cross section of bike rider. So the Cross is more for off-roading adventures, Porsche says. It's also a it also sports a Shimano mid-drive carbon fiber frame and full suspension, in addition to a Magura MT Trail hydraulic disc brakes that are extra large and heat resistant. It weighs 48.7 pounds and will retail for $8,549. Well, if you need that, it's there. All right, here's another interesting article. So lab-grown wood could be the future of furniture. So American scientists are working on a plan to, quote, grow, end quote, wood in a laboratory without sunlight or soil. Now, this is really interesting because, you know, the world is increasingly facing a demand for stuff that does not harm the environment. And, you know, of course, meat, so there's fake meat. That's one dimension where stuff like this is really, you know, taking significant advancements in recent years. And this is the first time that I've heard of like fake wood to be grown in a laboratory. Let's take a look. So Ashley Beckwith, lead author of the study, said her hope is that lab-grown wood could one day supplement traditional forestry methods. Her team is growing the wood by using 3D printed gel to mold plant cells into the desired shape. The technology could be used to create wooden parts or planks, which could then be used for a piece of furniture. Ms. Beckwith said the world was facing an ever-increasing demand for plant-based products, whether that can be food, materials, or infrastructure, consumer goods, and even crops needed for bioenergy fuels. And we're working with a finite area of farmable land. She added, "We dedicated a lot of resources to growing whole plants when all we really use is a really small portion of the plant. So somehow we needed to figure out a more strategic way to reproduce materials that isn't so reliable on the land." All right, well, I think that is definitely an interesting area, an interesting avenue of science. The ability to grow cells into specific, you know, shapes and sizes. I think that's really interesting. I will keep a pin on this and follow up with this. All right, let's see what else is up. So Samsung and MasterCard are working on a fingerprint payment system. So Samsung is collaborating with MasterCard on a biometric scanning payment card with a built-in fingerprint reader, Samsung has announced. The technology appears to be similar to MasterCard's biometric payment cards unveiled in 2017 that let you authenticate purchases without ever touching a keypad. However, Samsung said the cards will adopt a new security chipset from Samsung's systems LSI business that integrates several key discrete chips rather than using MasterCard's current technology. The aim is to increase security while reducing physical contact points, as your fingerprint is scanned directly from your own card and not an external point of sale device. However, the card is compatible with MasterCard's authentication tech, as it can be used in any MasterCard chip or POS terminal. Right, so the Apple Card is a similar way of payment, and it's designed mostly to be used on a smartphone. But Apple does issue a physical titanium card with your name laser etched onto it if you request. And if you do use Apple's physical card, however, you'll need to enter a code into a POS device as there's no built-in fingerprint reader. I'm not 100% sure if this is a development that is, strictly speaking, necessary. I think the world's going to have a much stronger future with cell phone-based technologies that allow you to pay, like Google Pay or whatever. But of course, that brings you into a situation quite possibly where your cell phone is out of juice and then you're poor. So let's see. All right, Amazon UK's first checkout-free fresh grocery store has opened in London. Amazon has opened its first checkout-free store outside of the US, a fresh store powered by the, quote, "just walk out," end quote, tech used in US Go stores. The shop, located in the West London borough of Ealing, offers Brits the same automated shopping experience that has been available to the US public since 2018. Instead of paying at manned or self-service checkouts, AI-powered sensors track the items you pluck from shelves and put in your basket, and charges are automatically applied at your car at the exit via the Amazon Go app. Now, there was an interesting statistic that I was reading about Amazon's, you know, employment and its impact on the world. So apparently, for every one job that Amazon creates, three are taken away from the retail sector. That is not a minor statistic, and I'm not sure how I feel about, you know, checkout free grocery stores in the first place. I mean, yes, I think it's probably a fantastic idea if you just want to, you know, go in and out very quickly, just want to do your shopping, you don't want to be held up. It helps you save time for stuff that you want to do. But then again, it decreases human contact, you know, one more level. And most people, you know, especially in the pandemic where nothing else but supermarkets were open, sometimes the only real conversations that people were having, however minor and, you know, automated, so to speak, those conversations could be, they were with, you know, supermarket tellers and stuff like that. And even that's going to get reduced. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about this, to be honest, but, you know, it's what the market is, you know, putting out there. And if enough people want it, if enough people feel a need for this type of experience, then we're unfortunately, or fortunately in this case, you know, we're going to experience more of this stuff propping up everywhere in the world. Let's see how this pans out. All right, so Microsoft is overhauling Windows 10, the Windows 10 UI again, and it continues with new system icons. So Microsoft is starting to modernize some of the basic parts of Windows 10 by improving the system icons that are available on the operating system. A new preview build of Windows 10 is rolling out to testers this week and includes system icons that now adhere to Microsoft's fluent design style. The new icons include a more rounded and simplified look and are available as a new font, Sigoi Fluent Icons. Microsoft has also updated its new taskbar widget with the new icons, providing a good look at how basic icon changes can modernize even the smallest parts of Windows. I mean, if you use Windows daily, it's going to have a minor impact on your life. That's what it is. All right, so senators have called on the FCC to quadruple base high-speed internet speeds. The federal government's definition of high-speed broadband has remained stagnant over the last 6 years, sitting at 25 megabits down and 3 megabits up since 2015. But faced with pandemic-fueled network loads and a new push for infrastructure spending, lawmakers are getting ready to upgrade that definition. In a letter to government leaders Thursday, a bipartisan group of senators called for a quadrupling of base high-speed broadband delivery speeds, making 100 megabits down and 100 megabits up the new base for high-speed broadband. Going forward, we should make every effort to spend limited federal dollars on broadband networks capable of providing sufficient download and upload speeds and quality. Another quote says, there is no reason federal funding to rural areas should not support the type of speeds used by households in typical well-served urban and suburban areas. I'm 100% for this. I think access to high-speed internet should be one of the basic human rights. Not just, I mean, there are some countries that have previously identified internet access as, you know, basic human right, but that means nothing. The fact that there is more stuff happening for rural areas is a really big, you know, good sign. And of course, now Starlink will also allow internet access by satellite to a lot of rural places, which is quite incredible. So everything that improves the quality of internet in the world, I think it's a good thing. Let's see what else is up. So huge atmospheric rivers could quicken Antarctic ice melt. Some of the big storms actually bring more snow, but others cause major melting. This seems like an interesting article on the Scientific American. Let me take a look. All right, so, you know, the fact is that there are so many inherent cycles on our world, in our world, that allow for the world as we know it to function. And the Antarctic ice sheet, you know, is held together through a very precarious balancing act. So let's take a look at this article. So the ice sheet loses mass whenever ice melts or breaks off into the ocean. And it restores some of that mass when snow falls and builds up on the surface. But as the climate warms, the Antarctic ice sheet is falling out of balance. It's losing ice faster than it can replace, raising global sea levels in the process. The problem has compelled scientists to study a broad range of factors that could affect mass balance on the Antarctic ice sheet. Increasingly, research suggests that enormous atmospheric rivers may have an important but sometimes overlooked influence. Atmospheric rivers are huge bands of moisture-laden air rippling through the sky. These bands often originate in the tropics or subtropics, and then they stream across the globe, carrying water vapor with them. They often dump buckets of heavy rain or snow wherever they make landfall. More snow might sound like a boon for the shrinking Antarctic ice sheet, but often it's more complicated than that. Atmospheric rivers can cause heavy snowfall in some cases, but at other times they can also spur rapid melting. Scientists are working to determine which effect is stronger and whether that might change as the Earth grows warmer. Yeah, this is another case where, you know, humanity has shot itself in the foot. In similar news, UK is found guilty of dirty air breach by a EU court. All right, let's take a look. This seems interesting. The UK has been found guilty by the European Court of Justice of systematically and persistently breaching air pollution limits. The court ruled that since 2010, the UK has failed to tackle the problem of toxic nitrous dioxide gas emissions in the shortest possible time. The EU court has continued to oversee the case because proceedings started before Brexit. The government believes the judgment is unfair and mulling its next move. The UK has been ordered to pay costs to the European Commission. The amount could run into millions of pounds. Nitrogen dioxide is emitted by gas heating boilers and cars, and the main hotspots are next to busy city streets. That's why the government has told 61 councils to clean up pollution on a local level. All right. In another bit of interesting news, glow-in-the-dark sharks are found off New Zealand coast. Those are words I never thought I would hear in that order. But yeah, there's so many different interesting creatures in the ocean, and I feel like some of the you know, life that we have teeming up in our oceans is more complex than what we would anticipate in alien civilizations or, you know, alien life forms. I think our own backyard is alien enough, and it's a good place to start. Let's see what the article says. Yeah, scientists have said they have found three deep water shark species living off New Zealand that glow in the dark. The species were collected from the Chatham Rise, an area of ocean floor to the east of New Zealand, in January of last year, according to the study. One of them, the kitefin shark, is now the largest known luminous vertebrate and can reach up to 180 centimeters. Incidentally, that's how tall I am. Bioluminescence was also confirmed in the black-bellied lantern shark and southern lantern shark. These three species were already known to marine biologists, but this is the first time that the phenomenon of bioluminescence, organisms emitting light, has been identified in them. While many marine animals, as well as some insects, such as fireflies, produce their own light, this is the first time that it has been found in larger organisms like sharks. The researchers suggest the sharks' glowing underbellies may help them hide from predators or to other threats beneath them. All right, well, that has been our show for today, and we will hear each other soon. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, ciao.